My experience tells me that when you have these sort of issues in church life, particularly on a Sunday when the word is going to be preached, you can bet your life God by his Spirit is going to do something. Let us pray. Great Shepherd and Bishop of our souls, by your mighty and tender Spirit, draw those who are lost to know him whom to know is life eternal. For your glory's sake. Amen. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. The shepherd's arms. Number one, lost. Number two, loved. Number three, lifted. This is a badge of honor. On the screen, a medal, a pendant. A rare pendant, a pendant of privilege given only to the few. The man I want to tell you about was given such a pendant. Very English. Born and given an English name, Henry. In an English city, London, the son of an admiral, an aristocrat, trained in one of the great institutions of England, Cambridge University. Not only so, but becoming a minister and priest in the Church of England. Picture him in your mind's eye, a man of aristocracy, of privilege, of position, getting this medal of honor, a knight of the realm, a baron no less. Picture him in your mind's eye, dignity, quality, morality, everything good. His name, Henry Williams Baker. And yet, this man of privilege and position, this man of aristocracy and dignity, on his deathbed at 56 years of age, his best friend, John Ellerton, heard him say these words. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, and yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulders gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world to save sinners, the chief of sinners, the perverse, the foolish, those who often stray. On the screen is a picture of the Shepherd's Arms in Wakefield. It's a public house. Strange as it might seem, Jesus of Nazareth would be more at home in a public house than he ever was amongst the seminaries of those who were training for ministry. This parable begins with these words. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." What's he doing? This rabbi from Nazareth, this man who makes these extraordinary claims to be God, mixing with the riffraff, mixing with the down and out, eating and drinking with sinners. Those who were self-righteous, full of their own importance, boasting of their morality, their dignity, their quality. Those who would be fulfilling all the amazing amount of rules and laws, 613 of them. 248 do's is what we do. 365 don'ts is what we don't do. And yet he mixes with publicans and sinners. Perverse and foolish. Oft I strayed, and yet in love he sought me. My prayer, my focus, my desire is that men and women, someone here, dressed in their Sunday best, but knowing in their mind and heart and experience that they are perverse and foolish and straying, that the shepherd would seek and find you this morning. On Thursday, I sat in front of a yellow van in the car park, listening to a girl called Jude Lennon tell exciting stories to boys and girls. And her stories were about animals, but her company is about lambs. She loves to tell the stories of lambs and sheep. Simple, engaging, connecting stories. You see, there is a great danger that those of us brought up in evangelical churches might just switch off at the simplicity and beauty of this particular parable. Jesus, the master communicator, he tells an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He takes the visible to illustrate the invisible. He takes the temporal to illustrate the spiritual. He takes the here and now to illustrate the there and then. The earthly for the heavenly and the eternal. Listen to his parable. He told them a parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. It is amazing that amongst those listening to Jesus when he told this simple parable were the tax collectors and the sinners, the riffraff. Those who perhaps would never be allowed into the temple, ever. Those of whom the Pharisees and scribes would look down their nose and say, beyond redemption. Then there were the disciples. They were listening to this parable too. And they would learn the importance of seeking lost souls for Christ. But then there were the scribes and Pharisees themselves. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 31, Jesus will say, "The publicans and the prostitutes will be in the kingdom of heaven before you." respectable, upright, middle class, Bible knowing, church attending, hymn singing. Perhaps the prostitute and the publican will be in heaven before you, before me. What a thought. This simple parable, first of all, under the heading of lost, we see a lost sheep. That's what it says. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them? Lost one of them. It's amazing that in the Bible, Abraham and Moses and David and Amos were shepherds. It's amazing that in the Bible, the triune God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, calls himself by the name of shepherd. He is a shepherd who seeks lost men and women. The Bible teaches that the human race is morally, spiritually, eternally, and utterly lost. You know, the Bible says the thoughts and the imaginations of the heart of man are only ever wicked and evil continually. What a statement that is. Do you know what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah? It says, the Lord's arm is not so short that it cannot save. His ear is not so dull that he cannot hear. But our iniquities have made the separation between us and God, and our sins have hid his face from us so that he does not hear. Do you know what the prophet Jeremiah said? The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately, desperately wicked. Do you know what Jesus, the good shepherd, said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19? He said that evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, slander, lying, they come from internal, from the heart. From the real you, a heart which is deceitful above all things and desperately, desperately wicked. Here's the picture, a shepherd. He has 100 sheep, but one of them goes astray, leaves the sheep pen, leaves the flock. You would tell the story to the children, wouldn't you? Out of the pen, down the lane, cross the brook, into the valley, maybe into the forest, then where the caves are, and then down lost in a really difficult, delicate, dangerous position whereby this little sheep, which has gone astray, is now helpless and hopeless and utterly, totally lost. It is quite something to say to a human being in the 21st century, that you are lost, far from God, under his judgment, on the broad road that leads to destruction. Do you know when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, we're hopeless. Without God. Without hope. Utterly unable to save ourselves. Lost. Number two. Loved. Because now we find the shepherd who knows the sheep by name. Remember, in John chapter 10, he said, the good shepherd knows his sheep. My name from the palms of his hand, eternity cannot erase. Impressed on his heart, it remains in marks of indelible grace. Amazingly, every sheep that goes astray, God in the person of his Son knows by name, came to live the life they could never live, die upon the cross, to purchase them by his blood, to bring them safely to heaven. He knows them by name. I used to tell the children's story, say it was Lammy and Larry and maybe Lily. But maybe it was Spotty Tail or Long Ears. Who knows? Maybe it was Little Limp. Whatever, he knows the sheep by name. He's counting them. There's 100 of them. One has gone astray. And this shepherd, this good shepherd, knows the name, knows that the sheep has gone astray, knows it's in danger, knows it is lost, hopeless and helpless and desperately in need of salvation. So what does he do? He leaves the 99 and seeks. Actually, that's the whole theme of the Gospel of Luke. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man, by his Spirit, through his word, is seeking someone here this morning who is lost. Everyone else can go to sleep. He is seeking you. Yes, you. You're not here by accident or chance. He loves you. Not only so, we find that he sacrifices himself as he seeks. We know that from John chapter 10, because Jesus called himself the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. The one who paid the ultimate price, who bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place, condemned he stood and sealed my pardon with his blood. Not only so, he not only knows and seeks and sacrifices himself upon the cross, but he saves, he calls, he saves to the uttermost and to the furthermost all that come to God by him. Amazing. In case you didn't know this, you really are loved. I love the word of Horatio Bonner. He says, O love of God, how strong and true, eternal, and yet ever new, uncomprehended and unbought, beyond all knowledge and all thought. You are amazingly loved. The Son of God loves me and gave himself for me. For God so loved the world. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. There's no height or depth or length or breadth. It is infinite love, beyond measurement, beyond restriction. Great love, glorious love, infinite and eternal love, beyond all knowledge, beyond all thought. Sinners are loved by the Savior. Whoever you are this morning, I want you to know the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, loves you, seeks you, knows you, gave himself for you, wants to save you. Lost. Loved. Number three, lifted. And when he had found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he came home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Look at this picture. This lover of souls, this savior of sinners, this shepherd and bishop of our souls finds that sheep which is lost. And look what happens. Lifts him into everlasting arms. The everlasting arms of the Son of God lifts up that sheep which is lost. Isn't that beautiful? We used to sing here many years ago, "From sinking sands he lifted me. With tender hands he lifted me. From my disgrace, from my shame, from my helpless, hopeless state, he came, sought me, and lifted me." The psalmist said, "From the miry clay, from the mire, from the muck, from the grime, he lifted me." Not only so, but onto the shoulders of salvation. And I want you to notice, he picks up the lamb, puts it round him, round his shoulders, plural. Take note of that. Isaiah the prophet, in chapter 9, verse 6, looking down the corridors of time, to the time when the Son of God would be born, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Not shoulders. The government of the universe, past, present, and future, on the shoulder of the King of Kings, whose name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. But this Savior puts this lost sheep upon his shoulders. The shoulders of salvation. Those shoulders that can bear the weight of your sin and mine. Those of you who are granddads here, you'll know how much the kids love to go on your shoulders. Nathan and Joshua and William, they love to go on granddad's shoulders. I don't find them heavy for the first 5 minutes. But these shoulders of the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the King of Heaven, bears the full weight of our lostness and carries us. Isn't that beautiful? And thirdly, not just into everlasting arms and unto everlasting, but into the joyous presence of God and his angels. Isn't that beautiful? That's the whole point. In the parable, he brings it, the sheep, home. The little town or the little village, everybody's rejoicing over this. But Jesus wants to make the eternal message loud and clear, that this lost sheep is being brought into the joyous presence of God and his angels. Literally, there is a celebration in the heavenly realm. God, think about that. Infinite, eternal, unchangeable. God, who is not a man, yet expresses emotion. Rejoicing. And all the angelic host rejoicing that the lost sheep has been found, that lost men and lost women and lost young people and lost boys and girls have been brought back into his kingdom. And there is joy, real joy, in the heavenly realm. And not only so, not only into everlasting arms, onto the shoulders of salvation, into the joyous presence of God and his angels, but into everlasting union with Christ. That's what the rest of the New Testament teaches us, that lost men and women are brought into union with Jesus Christ in his life, in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his ascension into heaven, into his high priestly work, into the fact that he will give to us, not only die for us, but give to us his life. He doesn't just give his life for us, he gives his life to us. So we are in union with him for endless ages. Into everlasting arms, onto the shoulders of salvation, into the joyous presence of God and his angels, into everlasting union with Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Lifted. No wonder seeking souls is so vitally important to the King of Heaven. Lost, loved, lifted into life abundant, life eternal, life secure. Take these lessons home with you, will you please? Lesson number one. Lost people matter to God. You matter. You're not an accident in the backwash. You're not just a random collection of atoms in a causeless and impersonal universe. You're not just someone on the treadmill to oblivion. You're not just a number. You're not just a statistic. You are a person made by God, made for God, and you matter to him. Take this application home with you. Number two, true shepherds seek wanderers. How important is that? Those of us who are under shepherds, those of us who are followers of the great shepherd and bishop of our souls, we should be seeking out lost men and women. Shouldn't we? Befriending them. Seeking opportunity to reach them with the gospel. Take this application home with you, please. Number three. If we want to bring joy into the heart of God, we must reach out to the lost. Imagine bringing joy to the Father. Imagine bringing joy to all of the angelic hosts. Imagine bringing joy to the inhabitants of heaven. Reach out in any way you can to lost men and women. And number four, there is hope for the hopeless. Come and ask me, whoever you are, whom God the Holy Spirit this morning is speaking to. If you have any experience in the Christian life, if you have any sense of the divine, if you have any burden for lost men and women, if you're a Christian, pray that that one lost soul here this morning will be found. There is no hopeless situation. He comes to call sinners to repentance. Let's stand and sing, shall we? We're going to sing two songs together. The Lord's My Shepherd, and then The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Let's stand together and sing.